The following podcast is a member of the Great Big Owl family.
Hello and welcome along to My Mate Bought a Toaster. This is episode 9004, I think, isn't it, Samantha Baines?
9005.
Welcome along, Samantha Baines. How are you?
I'm good. I'm here.
You've just done an Instagram story of us getting ready to do this.
Yeah, and I cut you off mid-intro.
I'm not very good at Instagram stories. I find them very awkward.
I love Instagram stories. Yeah. I share my life on Instagram.
At Samantha Baines on Instagram. And joining us today for the latest episode of My Mate Bought a Toaster is the fabulous comic and beautifully dyed hair today, Beck Hill.
Oh, thank you.
Can I just say, do you change the colour often of your hair dye choices?
This was done, I was a hair model 2 weeks ago, and
no.
I got paid £100 for a professional hairdresser to do this in front of other hairdressers.
Are you kidding?
Yeah.
But it
could have been anything. It could have gone horribly, horribly wrong.
So was there a moment when you get assigned a student to do your hair and you're like, uh-oh?
No, this was like a guy who was flown down from Edinburgh, where he runs his own salon, to show other hairdressers how he cuts hair really well.
That's amazing. So does everyone sit and watch you getting your hair cut?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah, and you don't have a mirror, so you have no idea what it looks like.
This is like a format, afterwards. Guys. This is like a TV show.
So you get danger money.
Yeah, it is danger money.
Your hair is ruined.
Normally I would be like if it was before Fringe, I don't think I would have taken the chance, because I would just finish Fringe. I was like,
Edinburgh Fringe or your Fringe?
Oh, yeah.
Because you do have a great Fringe, it must be said.
Yeah.
All right, Beck Hill, thanks for joining us. Wonderful stand-up comic. How long have you been doing stand-up for now, please, Beck?
From how long I've been doing it full-time, or when was my first gig?
Let's go, when was your first gig?
14 years.
14 years.
Yeah.
That's nice.
My first gig was straight out of high school. The year after I finished high school, I entered a stand-up competition in Adelaide.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and when did you come over here?
2008.
2008, right, yeah. Okay. So 4 years after you left school, you came over here and so it began. So if we look at your Amazon history, in fact, it starts in 2008 when you arrive on these shores. In December 2008, maybe it's some gift shopping here. We've got a lovely bit of Nick Cave. Very nice.
Oh, right, yeah.
And the ass saw the angel. It's a story about a donkey, is it? Or what's going on here, please?
It's a book, and that's as much as I know. It was purchased from my husband, who likes to read tricky books.
Oh, yeah.
And Adonat. So I think from memory he said it was a very difficult book to get through, but he's one of those people who reads hard to read books because it feels like an accomplishment when you finish it.
The world is divided into people who will do that and who will read any book, even if they're not enjoying it, will get to the end.
Why? It's torture.
Just sit there looking miserable. You're enjoying that? Yeah, it's really good.
Just get rid of it.
I like it when musicians go and write books. You know, like Bob Dylan wrote a book, and when you're reading a book written by Bob Dylan, you can only hear in your head, even though you're just reading words, but you can hear, it's like there's a bee in the room.
You have to sing it, not read it. That's how
it works. Well, no, I'm not sure Bob Dylan's ever done that, technically. Also, Morrissey wrote his autobiography. Penguin published the Morrissey autobiography, and he said...
Because it's an animal?
Well, maybe that's true. The penguin was fine. Nobody ate the penguin.
Yeah.
He insisted they could only publish it if it was published on the label Penguin Classics. So Morrissey's autobiography is on Penguin Classics. But similar problem. You read the autobiography and all you can hear is the whole way through.
I think the audiobook is them singing it.
Maybe.
I'd love that.
Let's find out. We should find out.
Quite an angry one-star review from Chatterbox.
Oh, yeah.
This is why musicians should sing and writers should write and never the twain shall meet.
Wow. Furious response.
Donna says, I've never met anyone who's actually read the whole book.
Oh, well, hang on. Beck Hill's husband might have.
Hello.
Yeah, Donna, meet Gavin.
Yeah. Gavin, Donna. Donna, Gavin. Have a nice tea. All right, let's move on. October 2008, you bought, and I'm just putting this out there because I have no idea what this is. It is I Am White Ninja and You Are My Pickle Sidekick. Qu'est-ce que c'est que ça? What is it? You know, I don't know.
I don't know either.
This is great.
So White Ninja was a webcomic. And that seems about the right time. So I wonder if the webcomic brought out a book and I probably purchased it for a friend back in Melbourne.
Okay.
As a gift.
Okay, I Am White Ninja. Is that what it is, Sam? Can you dive deeper there?
White Ninja was a great webcomic, though. It was very funny.
How did you find that? So you're buying gifts for people back in Australia, which you, at 2008 you have left. How was it when you first arrived over here and you've got the mayhem of the comedy circuit, which a lot of people think of as wonderful and brilliant, which it is, but, you know, if you just arrived in a new country, you've got your friends back home. Did you find that difficult? Was it a hard time?
Well, I moved to Edinburgh first because I made the classic mistake of going, this is where Fringe is, therefore... This is where comedy is.
Right, okay.
And then I realised it's the exact same rule as where I'm from, Adelaide, where outside of Fringe, it is just tumbleweed city.
I'd love to have seen you that moment walking through Edinburgh in like a November morning just going, oh.
Oh, no. I've made a huge mistake.
Yeah, I mean, no offence to Edinburgh. Wonderful city.
It's so beautiful. And I, like, I'm glad that that's where I started. So, interestingly, the Edinburgh Uni... would put on off-the-curb shows at the Pleasance Cabaret Bar every week on a Tuesday. And but they would just have two professional comics on, and comics would show up and they'd be like, who's emceeing? And they'd be like, no one. And because they didn't have the budget to hire a third comic. Yeah. And so they paid me 50 quid to introduce the comics every Tuesday. And so I would get to try out new material. I got to know the audiences. So technically I had a recurring audience each week. Mm. Yeah. And then I got to meet all the people who were on the circuit here. So that's how I met Sarah Millican and Tony Law and Jared Christmas and Tom Stade and like all those guys.
Those are all
guys.
Brilliant people. That's a good list.
Yeah.
Like, yeah.
Yeah. All, and also all people who like to this day have been like, oh, hey, Beck, how's it going? Like since, you know, then.
Yeah.
And then, but that was the only sort of gig I could get in Edinburgh was just that. And then I was like, well, if I move to London, I could do this probably every night.
Every day could be like Tuesday.
I'd probably get a 50 quid emceeing gig every night in London. There's so many gigs. Yeah. And then when I first moved down to London, I was like, I remember I did this, I did a gig at the Old Queen's Head in Denman Street. Yeah. In Piccadilly Circus, and the guy running it, I went upstairs and
tiny
it was just
room.
People, so tiny.
Actually smaller than the room we're in right now.
Yeah, yeah.
Ridiculously small.
And then I went upstairs and there was just people eating and I was like, I thought there was comedy here. And 15 minutes before the show was about to start, the guy running it started standing on someone's table where they were eating and putting up a curtain and then saying to them, sorry, this is a stage now? Mm. And I was like, oh, I don't want to do this gig.
So I Am White Ninja and You Are My Pickle Sidekick.
What is it? What is it?
Is a paperback book.
Okay.
Also, interestingly, I discovered that White Ninja is on the Urban Dictionary.
Cool.
It is the act of disappearing home from a night out without saying goodbye.
Oh, like an Irish goodbye.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
I did that the other night at a 10th. In fact, for Sarah Morgan, host of The Fear.
Yes.
At her 10th anniversary drinks, just left. Left in the middle of dancing.
Just went. Just walked off.
Wow. Just left.
I mean, now's the time to say goodbye.
Say
goodbye.
I felt
that's
so
a fellow,
cool.
That's a fellow
sometimes
great big girl.
Bye, Sarah.
I wasn't even invited.
Yeah.
That's why you left.
Yeah. What's the opposite of a white ninja when you arrive without anyone knowing that you're arriving? So 2009, only a couple of purchases in 2009. You got Darren Brown, Something Wicked This Way Comes, the DVD.
Oh.
Dispatched to Rebecca Hill. There she is.
That's
why,
me.
Why did you rebrand as Beck Hill? Have you just always been called Beck?
I've always been called Beck. Okay. Yeah, Rebecca's sort of my in trouble name.
Okay, all right. And then Rebecca.
Yeah. You that's bought... why Amazon hates me.
Yeah. Amazon's always cross with you.
Yeah.
Every bit of post you get. What have I done wrong?
Yeah.
January 2009, you got a Samsung NC10 netbook.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, the Atom N270.
£307.50.
Wonderful piece.
It was great. It was a little, it was like the size of a book.
Yeah,
it's currently unavailable.
It's gone now, isn't it? It's probably gone.
It's been so it broke, and Rob Sedgbeer from Wi-Fi Wars took it and repurposed it, and now I believe it's still in usage in some form.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
It's living on with the Wi-Fi Wars gang. So then it goes very quiet on your Amazon orders, so 10 and 11, nothing ordered on Amazon.
Wow.
Is this because you're like a stand-up comic living in penury, or because you just don't need anything because you're on the road the whole
time?
I think
it was, I have no money.
Okay.
I remember in my day job around then, they had it was one of those cool websites. I worked for customer service, and they their kitchen had like all the cereals and bread. And I remember I was so poor during that time that I would, not because like the job is just like entry level, pay level stuff, and you're paying London rent in central, like I'm in Camden.
Insane. And hundreds of pounds a week.
And I was so poor. And so I remember I would go in early, have breakfast at work, then I would have breakfast as my lunch. And then if I had a gig later, I would have toast after work in the kitchen and then walk to my gig.
Wow.
And I would walk because I couldn't afford to keep paying for the travel.
Quite literally an all-day breakfast.
Yes.
That is impressive. That is impressive. So what were you doing? You were temping at this time?
No, I think I was just full-time customer service, but it was all just incoming phone calls and emails.
Who
and
for?
Stuff.
For which company?
So around then, there was a few websites that I did, depending on the years. There was Buyer Gift, which is like Woucher, but less heard of.
Less around now. Yeah.
I think they are still around, but it was one of those things where it's like you buy a voucher to do it. They're just a middleman.
Yeah,
like
Buyer Gift is a great keyword enabled.
Buyergift.com.
Instead of voucher, who's going to search wow?
Yeah, but sometimes these companies want to invent new words, don't they?
Yeah, sure, that's but then you've got to promote it. Yeah.
But voucher's more about like getting yourself a deal, whereas buy a gift was more you don't know what to get someone, and so you'd buy them a hot air ballooning day.
Okay.
So you buy them the voucher, but then it doesn't book them in or anything. You get a little thing saying this has been purchased for you, but you still have to
do the work,
call in and book in and find out how to get there. And
so all of the admin rests on you. This for me, I don't want to put any gender on this, but this is blokes just buying a thing saying, there you are, mate. There you are. You go racing in a car. You sort everything else out.
And also, they never get used. That's how the company makes their money.
Oh, yeah.
Is that people forget about them.
Of course. So they just all vouchers work, the money. Isn't that? Yeah. Have you? Well, you've had experience vouchers.
Yeah, not used them.
What experiences have you missed out on? Maybe we could do a Kickstarter.
Well, I don't know, but because you can pick the experience. So it's a voucher for a certain amount, and then you can choose, but I just haven't gone. But I did buy one for my ex-husband, and he used it, and it was a car experience day.
Is that where he met his new wife? Oops. Now, what I like is when
he's
you go...
remarried.
No, sure.
He's pining over me.
Okay, right.
He doesn't listen to this.
No, I was going to say. all right, let's move on then. 2012, Beck Hill, you kick off again. Here we go. Amazon's getting chock-a-block now because you did two orders. So it's way more. You've got... you've bought Pretty Goods by Josh Levine, which I guess is the book about Curb, you enthusiastic?
Yeah, I think it's about Curb and Larry David. But boringly, again, that's another gift for my husband.
Another gift?
That's when the money came in and I was like, well, mum's going to treat her man.
To something which I'll probably... Well, that's not a tricky read, is it? Because he does like a tricky read, your husband, famously.
Yes, famously.
So. I think this is... You must have got a voucher because it says total zero. So you bought a gift on a voucher. Like
there
that.
You go. I think it was probably one of those things where you get a £50 voucher for like changing your gas or something. You know when you do that. And
Everyone loves a freebie. 4th of September, 2012.
Pushing the boat out here.
Yeah, a Breville VCF042 Wake Cup hot water dispenser.
Oh yeah, that was so that it's a it's basically a tea's made.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it's an alarm clock. And so we used to put instant coffee in the cup and then have a little flask of milk. It would wake us up going...
So in your bedroom?
Yeah, yeah. So next to the bed.
You've got a robot butler. This is amazing.
Yeah,
You wake up and there's coffee straight away.
Hang on. Have you not heard of a tea's made before, Samantha Bates? Have you never heard of these things?
Yes. Well, I had them in the States when I stay there, but... I didn't know you could get it as an alarm clock and then it would automatically do it.
Yeah. So, except because it's boiling the water, it'd be like,
That's going to
wake up to that.
The question I've got is, why hasn't every single human being in the world got one of these? Forget mobile phones.
I'll tell you what, we've upgraded. We gave that to a charity early this year because we've bought a filter coffee machine with an alarm. So now we wake up to filter coffee in the pot. And that goes, so you can just, and we sleep with the door open so we can hear it in the kitchen just going.
This is the most upbeat and excited I've ever been on this podcast because I'm buying this right now.
Can I just say the only other thing that Sam has ever bought from talking about on the podcast was a vibrator. So that is how happy she is with this.
It heat the tip heats up to 35 degrees.
That's a very, the very cold. Yeah, not the coffee. Yeah. Very cold cup of coffee.
I'm so
don't
excited.
Get those confused, otherwise you end up with a very hot vagina.
Yeah. Or drink coffee while you masturbate. Great. The product description.
Does it have an alarm?
Yeah,
the vibrator.
Oh my god. And then you can just wake up to an orgasm. You just leave it in yourself overnight.
I was about to say, what is the best possible way to wake up? Discussing coffee or tea or maybe a bread maker, but it turns out
an orgasm and a cup of tea.
Imagine that before you go to bed. Get your little pre-bed routine, get my dressing gown on the back of the door, just wash my face and then pop that in. Good night, everyone.
Put a timer on it. I think it'd fall out. I think I turn quite a lot in the night. Not that I have a loose vagina. I'm just saying,
Fallout does like suggest there's gravity involved. Like,
well, because you'd insert it, but then you'd move around a lot.
No. I've got an imagination.
Something really big in there. Anyway, The coffee maid description is amazing.
Go on.
I want to do it. And can I do it in an American accent?
Yes.
Wake up to a tasty hot drink without leaving the cozy comfort of your bed with the Breville. No, Breville.
Breville.
VCF042 Wake Cup Hot Water Dispenser. Catchy. A hot drink can provide that all important energy boost on busy days or be part of a relaxing lie-in. However you start your day, it's an essential part of the morning ritual. And thanks to the Wake Cup, you don't have to traipse to the kitchen or even leave your bed to enjoy a freshly brewed hot drink. The Wake Cup sits by your bedside and includes a digital alarm clock. This can be programmed to start making a hot drink when the alarm rings and boasts a number of other features designed to help you start the day feeling refreshed.
Traipse.
Not as good as it. Traipse. The one takeaway we got from that was traipse.
I forgot about that word.
I've never seen it written down.
No.
Traipse. Around.
It's a bit of a traipse of a word.
It is.
Mm. There's a lot going on there.
Traipse around.
Trapeze.
Traipse around.
Yeah.
Okay.
Did
so
you like my accent?
I thought your accent's very good, actually. Yeah.
Very nice. Do you think I'll get cast in something from this podcast?
I think you'll get a recall.
Thank you.
Beautiful American accent there. Very nice, Sam Baines. Thank you very much indeed. Okay, let's move on to 2013. We know that Bex is over here. She's in the country. You've been here for like 5 years at this stage. You're waking up every morning to lovely tea made by your robot. Coffee, I should say, made by your robot. And then in March 2013, you spend £23 on the Elegant Owl's pretty cute vintage design 13.3-inch notebook laptop shoulder hand case carrying bag for Apple MacBook Pro 13.
Oh, I did. So I remember, so that must have been, I bought a secondhand MacBook Pro because I was going to try and make more videos for YouTube. And that had like the power to do that then. Yeah. And then within 3 months, it did the blue screen of death thing or whatever it is that it does.
Ugh.
And I was like, ugh.
So
and
annoying.
It was just. Yeah, it was so frustrating that I just ended up giving it to a friend who, again, gave it to a friend who does computer stuff and let him repurpose it.
But could they not repurpose it in your direction? Could you not hand it to your friend and say, could you repurpose this for Beck Hill?
I think by that stage, I'd gone, you know what, if it's already doing this, I'm going back to PCs and I've never looked back.
Really? Is that so? You dabbled in Mac for a little
dabbled,
bit?
Wow. I dabbled in Apple.
Dappled.
But importantly, your carry case has owls on it.
Yeah, I actually have no memory of that case whatsoever. Let's have a look.
Nice little white one. Yeah. Easy to get dirty. Okay.
I clearly had that at some stage, but I don't know what happened to it.
Well, this is a Great Big Owl podcast, so maybe you could put all your podcasts in it now. That could work quite nicely. Little thought there.
Like a little papoose.
No reviews at all?
Nope.
That seems unfair. I mean, should a review from Beck say, I don't remember buying this at all?
Yeah.
Could we do that? Can we write a review?
Yeah, of course,
Let's do that.
Are we going to give it one star? You can't do zero.
No, let's be nice.
No, yeah. Give it five stars.
Say,
this looks nice, but I don't remember it.
Exactly.
What's the headline?
A lovely trip down nostalgia, a lovely traipse down nostalgia lane.
Good. Whoever made that product is going to get a notification, aren't they? A product from 6 years ago, they'll be like, what?
Hello, I'm Jack Beaumont, and this is Crime Club, the podcast where I talk to people who have done terrible, terrible things, either immoral or illegal, ideally both.
Oh, fucking hell, mate.
That's Crime Club.
Oi. 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 Crime Club.
May 2013 here on My Mate Bought a Toaster. We're with Beck Hill, brilliant stand-up comedian, and you bought six bouncy egg rubber balls. What a fantastic comic you are when you've got comedy gold like that. What on earth, why are you buying these bouncy egg rubber balls, please?
I would say that's probably the year I started doing Beck and Tom's Awesome Laundry with Tom Goodliff.
I love Tom Goodliff.
Yeah, good egg.
Yes, a good egg. Yeah, there you go.
I had to get six of them.
Right. So what did you? How did you deploy these in the show?
I think, so there was a cooking segment, and I don't think we even used them for comedic effect. I think it was because we pretended to cook and I think we were just like, quick, buy all the kitcheny things. And so we put them in a real egg. We did use it. There's a bit where Tom laid an egg.
Right.
That was it.
So, well, and hang on, did he squat down and poo an egg out in front of some children?
Okay. Yeah.
Great.
That's not,
great.
Not quite as graphic as that.
Wow.
And then, but what I remember most about them is when we were setting up or packing up the show, when there weren't even kids around, we'd play a game that we called Egg. And then it's where you'd have to throw the rubber egg to each other.
Yeah.
And as you throw it, you'd have to name a different way of making eggs.
Amazing.
Like scrambled, fried, poached, and then
even
you couldn't
in the show.
You know, not and you couldn't repeat the type of egg. And if you drop it, you had to start again. But you wanted to do as many.
How many different types
forth.
Of ways are they doing eggs? There's only about five on there. I mean, you got in America, you got your easy and your over easy and stuff like that.
Sunny side up.
Yeah. So also on the same day, I'm assuming this is part of.
Oh,
the...
can we do a review? Because one star from HP Source.
Oh no.
Not
the
what...
HP Source.
Yeah, the HP Source.
These did not
Harry
taste
Potter
good
sauce.
With my sauce.
Not what I expected.
Oh!
Someone definitely did one star just to do that pun. And I respect that.
They were quite angry about it. The six eggs I received after a few weeks, in brackets, seem very different to the others reviewed here. They aren't really bouncy balls at all, just imitation eggs, and not even very realistic ones at that. They are lightweight, 3 grams per egg, he weighed them.
He's weighed them!
And just hollow plastic. I was expecting something solid and rubber. Bouncy would have been nice too. One egg was also crushed in transit. I'm hoping the seller accepts returns, although as they are shipped from Hong Kong, I won't be holding my breath.
Wow, someone's furious they
have
shelled out on those.
Hey!
It's astonishing.
4 people find that helpful.
Oh.
Ours were solid rubber.
Right, but well, yours were better.
Ours were good.
Maybe there's a reply to put on there. Ours were solid rubber. Pre-Brexit.
They're terrible to bounce, though, because they're egg-shaped, so you never know what direction they're going to go.
Yeah, I mean, what you're experiencing there is the joy of rugby, Beck. That's the best thing about rugby. You never know where the ball's going to go. Brilliant.
I would watch rugby if they had to yell out different ways of doing eggs.
That would make it so much better.
Throw the ball to each other.
It's a try. What's he saying? Scrambled.
Someone's left a 4-star review saying, a bit rough in places, but serves the purpose of an egg and spoon race. Why do you need them to be smooth?
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know.
Popping up yourself. That's
rough
fine.
Egg.
I guess if it's rough and it's in the spoon, that's like cheating, isn't it? Well, it's friction. It's going to hold it in the spoon.
I tell you what else holds it in the spoon, as I discovered when I did an egg and spoon race. Your other hand.
Yeah.
I was furious. We did a parents' egg and spoon race at the end of my kids' sports day, and loads of parents put their hand over the egg.
Yeah, what's the point?
What's the point? It's not an egg and spoon race. It's just a race.
What's
just
the
put
point?
Your thumb on it.
You win.
Yeah. Well, you don't win it because you're cheating.
Running.
But the children don't put their thumbs on it.
Do you know what I did?
Adults know better.
I pretended that I'd won. So I ran around as if I'd won, and my kids to this day still think I won the egg and spoon race. I didn't. I came back 7th.
Do you know what I'd do?
What?
I'd put some chewing gum and stick it to the spoon.
That's okay. That's cheating, but that's more underhand. Actually, literally overhand. Putting your hand over the egg, I just think
too
that's
too obvious.
No, I think if you're going to cheat, do a good. I'd get some double-sided tape or maybe some Velcro.
Yes.
Then I can swap the eggs out at any point.
That's
if it's a relay.
Yeah.
There's more involved in that though, Velcro, sticking it to side of the spoon.
Very hard to cheat at sports day, isn't it? I'm just trying to think of what activities you do at sports day that you can cheat at.
I hated sports day.
Yeah, awful.
It's my worst day.
I liked it.
We used to do it on AstroTurf, and there would be those flying ants.
Oh.
everywhere.
Was it always on Flying Ants Day that
you
do?
It was always on Flying Ants Day. I have horrible memories of sitting in shorts on AstroTurf with flying ants.
Oh, great.
You get astro burns. Have you ever had an AstroTurf burn?
That sounds so cool.
It's not
Astro burns.
Astro burns is like a brand of trainers, isn't it? Those yeah. Astro burns.
I don't think I ever move fast enough for anything to burn.
It really hurts. You can really, like, proper, really nasty. Were you very sporty at school then? I'm hearing that you enjoyed sports.
No, but I did like it because we didn't have to do lessons. And also the weather's good in Australia, so it's just an excuse to be outside and run around with your mates.
What was your go-to sport?
But when it came to actual sports, triple jump. Because you're basically skipping really long.
Because it's a lovely skip.
It is a lovely skip.
I was javelin, so I didn't have to run.
I've just got this image of the two of you. So now I've got Beck skipping with your sort of hands flailing around while you do it with a big smile on your face. Yeah. And I've just got an image of you, Sam.
Standing completely still.
Not even taking your run up, just going, right, can I sit down?
That is literally what I would do. I would not run up. I would stand still in a wide stance and throw, and I always won.
Was it because you were trying to spear the flying ants?
I was so angry about being at sports day.
Yeah, I didn't like it.
You know what is something else that you could throw and use your hands with?
Oh, yeah.
Rub eggs. Oh, sorry.
Yes.
Yes, that.
And a lobster hand puppet, which is on the
A
7th
lobster
of May,
hand puppet. Now, that's got to be. I'm assuming that's for the show as well, right?
It was for the show. I basically said to Tom Goodliv, your character's going to be obsessed with lobsters. And he was like, what? And I was like, because we need a lobster puppet. And he was like, okay, you've only written this in so you can buy a lobster puppet. I don't know what it's like now. You can check. But recently, I double checked that exact lobster puppet to try and find a picture of it.
Yeah.
And they couldn't find it on sale anymore. I don't know if it's changed since
then.
The only place I could find it was on eBay and it was like over £200. Oh, it's like a collector's edition.
A great investment. Have you still got it?
I've still got it.
Oh, you're kidding me.
It actually currently features in a series of sketches I did for Sobino where I play an unboxing person on YouTube.
Amazing.
But every time I unbox a thing, a lobster comes out and attacks me.
And it's the actual lobster?
It's the actual lobster and I have it on my bookshelf at home watching over the
lounge. Incredible.
So go sell it for £200.
No. It's not that. It's a star.
This is like Bitcoin. It's just going to keep going up and up and up.
Yeah, I'm going to retire on that lobster.
If we look at the 7th of July, 2013, I mean, we can't ignore that, can we, Sam?
No.
It's a very much a Justin Bieber black baseball cap. Over to you, Beck Hill, to explain what on earth is going on, please.
It was also part of the show. It was when we did the cooking section in Beck and Tom's Awesome Laundry. Mm-hmm.
You sent it to
there
Gavin.
Was a... Did I send it to Cap?
Yeah.
Was it at his work? Maybe because I couldn't receive it. I'm not sure why I sent it to Cap. We had a celebrity judge for the cooking section, which obviously meant that one of us would go, I just have to go to the toilet, and would run off.
Yes.
And celebrity judge was Justin Bieber, who was one of us in sunglasses and a Justin Bieber cap, because that's what he would wear, is a cap with his own face on it.
Amazing.
And then a bib that said Justin on it. And then he would come on with a gravy boat going, Gravy boat. And then because neither of us can do voices, Justin, because we would swap, because then when the other one had to have the judge taste their food, then the other one would have to go, oh, I'm just going to the toilet, and then put on the same things and pretend that we're the same character. But neither of us can do voices. So Justin Bieber sounded like Gilbert Gottfried. Hey, guys, I'm Justin Bieber.
I really want to see this show.
So then we go to 2016, Beck. Still doing the comedy at this stage, obviously, as you still are now. Things going very well.
Mm-hmm.
We have got...
Very strange two orders.
Really odd orders.
When you put them together.
In July, you bought the Yiz Yif Girls Sleeveless Sequin Flower Sash Formal Wedding Bridesmaid Party Dress for 6 to 7-year-old. Okay. And then in October, you bought the Secret History of Twin Peaks.
Creepy.
Tell us about 2016.
Creepy year.
I mean, we all had a difficult year in 2016, but it seems to have hit you hard.
In 2016, I got married.
Good year. Great year for you in 2016.
And clearly that was my outfit, I guess.
Bridesmaid's dress now makes sense.
Oh, is that
what... 6 to 7-year-olds.
Oh, yeah, of course. Blue. Yeah, yeah. That would have been for my niece.
Oh.
Yeah, yeah.
Nice.
So that was that. And
the history of Twin Peaks also for your niece?
Also for my niece. She's a huge Lynch fan. And No, that was it was another gift for my husband. He's a big David Lynch fan. In fact, the following year for his 40th, we went to Washington State and visited the sites where they filmed Twin Peaks.
Really?
Mm.
Oh my God, that's impressive.
It was very exciting.
Doing a tour of it. Okay. All
right. We stayed in the place they use as the external shots for the Great Northern, which was very cool. It's next to a waterfall.
So, what's the attraction of doing that? For like, are you a massive fan of Twin Peaks?
I wouldn't say I'm a massive fan.
So what's it like when you're standing there and he's going, oh my God, and you're like, yeah, this is just a road?
When I first moved here, he made me marathon it with him when we were living up in fact, we were staying with his parents up in Cooper and Fife.
Oh, okay.
And so there's not much to do in Cooper and Fife. And so we just marathoned all of the first two seasons of Twin Peaks while eating cherry pie.
Uh-huh.
And that was really nice because it was like he got really into it when he was like a teenager or something. And because he loved it so much, it was like we'd only been together for maybe like a year at that stage. So it was a really informative way of getting to know what he was into and what he liked. And
he's a weirdo is what you're saying.
He's a weirdo, yeah.
Perfect opportunity for someone growing up, presumably in the sort of out in the middle of nowhere part of Scotland to watch Twin Peaks.
It's it's real creepy.
Yeah.
But you know when someone is really passionate about something and you can't help but enjoy their passion through them? Mm-hmm. And just he really loves Twin Peaks. Like it's one of his favorite things in the whole world. And experiencing it with him was such a nice way of getting into it. And so it's not something I probably would search out myself.
Right.
But I love watching it with him because like the joy radiates off of him and you sort of soak it in yourself.
Like you're like a feeder, but for TV shows. That's nice. Yeah, I like that.
And I'm a big sucker for locations. Like because I'm from Adelaide and nothing really got filmed out, you know, or nothing of sort of international note. Where I grew up. And so as soon as I moved over here, suddenly you're within stone's throw of like loads of famous scenes from stuff.
Yeah.
And so when I can then get to America and then go to scenes that I've seen on TV and to see them in real life and I find that really exciting. So I really enjoyed it. I thought it was a great trip.
I like that the joy radiated off him. It's like how I feel about the heat up vibrator.
You could marry that now if you wanted to.
I love it. I should get commission.
Okay, so 2017, and look at this. Suddenly there's loads of orders, right? And it's a lot of it is audiobooks. So you've obviously joined Audible.
Mm.
You've bought loads and loads of audiobooks. And also you've bought the accoutrements inflatable beard of bees. That was on the 24th of December. Is that some sort of beard-based Santa? Is that
was for? Did I buy that on the 24th of December? I bought Christmas that on Christmas.
Yeah, Christmas Eve. What do you do every year? This time, that time of the year, it's time to buy a beard of bees.
It went to
Jim Campbell.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, comedian Jim Campbell.
Oh, yeah, of course.
I think I was drunk on Christmas Eve.
Yeah.
When I get drunk, I tend to WhatsApp my friends and tell them how proud I am of them.
Aww.
And I think we were having one of those conversations and then I said, and I was off to Australia, I think like 2 days after, like I was going to Australia the day after Boxing Day. And I said to him, I think I said to him, what do you want for Christmas? And then he said a beard of bees. And so I got him that. And then like the first week in January or sort of just after New Year's or something, he messaged me and he's like, did you send me this?
And you were like, I have no idea.
Yes. Yeah.
I buy owl bags. I don't remember them. This is what we're discovering. Beckhill drinks and Amazons.
I wish Amazon had the time of purchase on it.
Also, they could look at
that would be
alcohol
so
content in your blood when you purchase things as well. And then we can look 13th of June, 2018 now, quite recently, How to Be a Bad Christian and a Better Human Being by Dave Tomlinson. So you are of faith, Beckhill.
Yes.
Okay. Yeah. All right. So tell us a bit about this book, please. It's a gift, actually. In fact, there we are. It's a gift.
I listened to the audio book and I loved it so much that I think I sent a copy to my friend Chris back in Australia and a copy to my mum. My parents were quite agnostic growing up. So then I, after careful consideration, decided I quite liked aspects of Christianity, struggled to find a good church, eventually found the church that Dave Tomlinson is a reverend of because someone else said, this book's amazing, you should go to his church.
Okay, where's his church?
Is it St. Luke's in Holloway. Unfortunately, he had to retire last year because he hit 75 and apparently Church of England rules. You're not allowed to.
Oh, really?
Be irreverent after 75.
You get shipped off, do you?
You get shipped off.
Wow. Yeah. A religion still invented because someone wanted to get divorced. The Church of England.
Yeah, yeah.
From Catholicism.
Literally.
Catholicism.
The pastor's put to pasture. That's a shame. But how do you find that? How do you find that being a Christian in the stand-up world? Because most stand-ups I know are atheists. And obviously you're not going to be sitting there having massive arguments about it. But a lot of comics go on stage and talk about it and can be quite, yeah, like, who's religious these days? Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, I am. Funnily enough, I think majority of the comics, at least, that I work with, like, everyone's... I actually used to do a podcast years ago called Gods of Comedy, where I would interview other comedians about their faith or what they believe in or don't believe in. And it was just a really nice non-judgmental, because we're all different and everyone has like different experiences. And I find more often than not, I just end up having really fascinating conversations with people about, you know, why we're at where we're at and humanity and how it works. And it's really nice. I find that the only comics these days who tend to make cheap gags about, because Rufus Hound had a bit years ago when he did his DVD record about why he's atheist, and it was so well worded and so justified and so funny and just really beautifully done.
Yeah.
And the whole time I was like, like I remember like properly whooping for it because it was a really good bit of material and so personal to him. Mm. And that I appreciate. It's when you get the hack things where they're like, Jesus or other fictitious characters, la, 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 la. And you're like, and then later, if you were to say to someone, do you really think that Jesus didn't exist? They wouldn't necessarily have much to back it up.
Yeah.
And those are the, I tend to find that those people that make those jokes are usually very new and don't stay around that long. Mm. Like, they don't tend to be on the circuit for that long, or I don't cross paths with them because I do better clubs.
Also, Jesus was a real person, wasn't he?
Yeah, whether exactly. Yeah.
Jesus definitely exists.
Yeah, that's it. Like, it's regardless of what you think surrounds it.
Mm. We should get him on the podcast, actually.
Yeah, you should.
Jesus.
We can imagine his shopping list.
I'll put in a good word.
Yeah.
Could you please? Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Say sorry, I haven't been in touch. All right, listen, we need to move on, guys. We need to bring this to a close. There's a couple of things. Let's do a sort of whistle stop tour of 2018.
Okay.
Give us some quick punchy answers as to why you bought, for example, on the 21st of September, the Russian army style winter cap, warm trapper hat, ear flaps with a badge, with a black badge on it.
Gav, my husband and I like to do couples dress ups for Halloween. And so, you weren't sure where that was going, did you?
No, especially seeing as the other thing was an all colours ladies, girls, dance, gymnastics, nylon, lycra, long sleeve, leotard.
Yeah, you guess what the outfit was based on that?
Oh, something to do with ballet?
No.
What?
No, the hat comes into it as well.
What?
Glow.
Yeah, we did Glow.
Oh, Glow.
So I was Alison Brie's character.
Yeah.
Not Alison. Yeah, yeah, Alison Brie.
This is Glow, which is on Netflix, isn't it?
Yeah,
very good. Okay.
Zoya the
Destroyer. I was Zoya the Destroyer, was Marc Maron, and genuinely looks so much like him. I will send you the photo so you can put it up on this podcast.
Thank you. Yes, please. That'd be great.
And he looks so much like we tweeted it, and Marc Maron liked it on Twitter.
Oh, really? Yeah. Oh, that's a win. That's the whole year one. That's the whole year one. 7th of December 2018, Davidoff Adventure EDT spray. Very nice. I'm thinking Christmas present.
Husband likes to smell like Ewan McGregor.
Why not? Why would you not? We all know how Ewan McGregor smells just by looking at him.
I feel like this podcast is mainly people getting to know my husband.
We know that he loves reading books and he smells great. Yeah. What else do we want to know?
And Twin Peaks.
And Twin Peaks.
Why did you buy the fidget bean key ring keychain? It's like an edamame bean.
Oh, because a friend, a lovely friend called Renata Brightman, gave me one as a gift. And I attach it to my phone, and it's really fidgety and fun to play with. And everyone who I would put my phone down on a table would start fidgeting with it. Wow. And so I bulk bought a bunch of them and gave them out at Christmas.
We are all fidgets these days, aren't we? Mm. We all need to fidget.
$7.99 if you need a fidget.
There's loads of them.
Okay, all right. I'm sort of feeling like we should try and bring this to a conclusion with an object that best sums you up, Beck. And I don't want to sort of dip into any race stereotypes, seeing as you obviously are an Australian, but we have got on the 8th of February, I'm sorry, it's here in front of me, 8th of February 2019, the Bristol Novelty Aussie Outback hat with corks.
Yeah.
Why are you buying that? Come on, you've moved out of Australia. Maybe this is a sign that you're longing for home 10 years after you moved here.
I bought it because I was doing ACMS, the Alternative Comedy Memorial Society, and I have replaced all the corks with cardboard teeth. and it was for a character I was trying out, because I'm not a character act, but I like to do ACMS with characters, called the Struth Fairy. And she collects all the teeth from the animals. And so people yell out animals to me and I tell them how I steal their teeth.
That's brilliant. I love it.
Before we should go, I should tell you that I have brought the last thing that I bought on Amazon,
which, thank you.
Wasn't in my thing. Would
a
you like to see it?
A natural end to the show. Yes, yeah, please. Yeah. Amazing. Thank you, Beck. She's actually
what do you guess it is, Tom?
What that she's bought?
Yeah.
Of Amazon. Well, she's a fan of costumes, isn't she?
Or books.
Or audiobooks. You can't really bring an audiobook in. That would be weird.
I think it's a cable.
Yeah, classic cable, some sort of charging pack. That'd be quite a disappointing thing to bring in. Oh. It's not a great show and tell moment to end the show on, is it?
If she's got one now, you've really
we're going to do
dulled it down.
Show end tell. That's what the speech is now called. Here we go.
It's probably the most on-brand thing I could ever buy, and I haven't been able to use it yet because it came from America, and it's an electronic item, and I don't have an adapter yet.
I'm so excited. What is it? What the?
Is it a coffee maker?
It is a fondoodler.
Oh, what?
It says on the box, play with your food. And to describe it underneath, it says, it's a hot glue gun, but for cheese. Build with it, write with it, cook with it.
Oh, my God. My wife is going to lose her mind. It does look a bit like the...
It looks like a glue gun or the insemination tool that they use.
It does look like
a
glue gun.
That is perfect, yes.
And then you put your stick of cheese in there.
Uh-huh. Any cheese you like, because any cheese melts.
Yeah, exactly. It tells you any cheese. And then when you do that, it goes in and heats it up. And then you can put it on toast.
It's a glue gun for cheese. That is incredible.
If you let the cheese dry, you can build... like a 3D printer would.
Yeah.
Build it up.
Oh my God! So you can literally say to your husband while he's in bed reading a complicated book about Twin Peaks, having his tea made for him by your tea's maid. You can go downstairs and write "I love you" on some toast in cheese.
Stairs. I live in London.
Sorry.
cover.
I love that you can traipse to the other side of the box.
Cover a book in cheese. Put cheese on your own face. You could wait for it to cool down and then do a cheese moustache.
Yes. Or straight into your mouth.
You can fondoodle into your own mouth. That
I'm lactose intolerant, so I can do that.
It's an amazing image. You can get lactose free cheese.
It doesn't really melt well.
What could you put in here? Chocolate. I'm sure you could use chocolate in here as well. That would be good, wouldn't it? That would be good, wouldn't it? It's a thought for you. Open wide, Samantha. Open wide. Listen, Beck Hill, what a pleasure to spend some time with you. Thank you so much for coming on to My Mate Bought a Toaster.
Thank you.
And I love all these items, but the fondoodler is one of the best things I've ever seen. I'm going to steal this off you now. Thank you, Beck. The wonderful Beck Hill there on My Mate Bought a Toaster. Samantha Baines.
Yeah. Googling the fondoodler.
Has it happened? Because as we know, as is now famous in this show, the only thing you've ever bought from one of our guests, Amazon purchase histories, was Yasmin Akram's sex toy.
Yeah.
Have we now got a new item you're going to buy?
It's not the fondoodler.
Oh, no, because I think...
I'm lactose intolerant.
Well, I'm going to buy the fondoodler for my wife because she has a cheese club. She does a cheese club. I know. All her friends sit around... Like book club, but for cheese. They all bring a lump of cheese each, and they talk about the cheese they've
got. That's amazing. Oh, that's really nice. A cheese club sounds like a weapon that would go with the fondoodler cheese gun. I've got a cheese club. I've got a cheese gun.
I'm considering buying a teammate.
Keep us up to date on that, please.
I will.
Let us know.
I need one that's pretty.
For all your comments and interaction you'd like to do with the show, please give us a tweet follow, at ToasterPod. That's what we are on Twitter. We're not on Instagram. But I am at ThePriceTom. Sam is at Samantha Baines. Beck Hill, what are you, please, on the bits?
At Beck Hill Comedian.
Very nice indeed. And please give us a review and a rating on...
Five stars. No? Five-star rating.
We haven't got many, We've got loads of five stars.
And traips.
You need to write stuff. You need to say,
that would be nice.
Sam's the best thing about this podcast. When she's not here, it's worth nothing.
The ones with Tom, sort of just a little bit up their game.
The drag.
They just really just fit funnier. It's a bit of a traipse when Sam's here.
Slower.
Yes, please.
I don't remember buying this.
That'd be good. Yes, if you could please write that.
Or if you've bought anything that we've talked about on the show and you want to do your review, you can just write under our podcast a review of an item that you've bought on Amazon.
Thank you very much for coming. All the best. Come regards. Bye.
Bye.
Done!
Yay!
Hooray! Thank you so much. That was brilliant. That is amazing.
Thank
and I'm
you.
Genuinely going to buy that. The fondant. Did you get on Amazon or what?
Yeah,
it was
Amazon.
GreatBigOwl.com.
I'm Mark Haynes, and for the last 32 years, I've been a fan of professional wrestling. My friend Pete Donaldson from the Football Ramble, he hasn't. But in our podcast, Wrestle Me, the two of us subject the greatest spectacle in sports entertainment, WrestleMania, to the kind of rigorous scrutiny that ruins it entirely. GQ called Wrestle Me enrapturing. Shortlist said it's beautiful. And it's a hit with common people too, with well over 400 five-star reviews on iTunes. Wrestle Me, available from all good podcast providers.